These are the words of Hagar. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me.
Thank you, Kurt. Good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? You know, there are identity factors that tell you you're in the Church of Christ. We probably know most of them. But one of them for me is there's a clock telling me what time what time it is and reminding me of what time I need to stop. But by the way, what does it mean when the visiting missionary looks at his watch?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. We're known for being long-winded. But I'll do my best. I'll do my best to keep it at a reasonable time this morning. We appreciate all you do for the Lord. And here at Westgate, we are seeking and saving the lost, changing lives and nurturing the family of God. So welcome. We're seeing lots of new people, new faces. I see lots of young people here. It's good to see you in the worship service this morning. I see some who are middle-aged. Well, then there's the other group. I'm not old, but I'm getting older. And at our age, I remember who we are, and Holly remembers where we're going. But we appreciate all that you do for the Lord's work and for his kingdom here in Abilene and throughout the world. And I've got a story. You know, we preachers, we share stories, and it's good to be aging and to be getting older. It's okay. So I've got a story. Now, young people, you need to be nice to the elders, okay? There's a story of someone in his mid-80s, and it was in the morning, and so he drove up to the drive-thru at McDonald's. Now, as we age, we don't do things as fast as we used to. And it goes for visiting missionaries, too. We don't have quite the technology that you do here, so we're quite slow in some areas. But as we age, things move slower. So this gentleman drives up to the window, the drive-thru window at McDonald's. Well, he gets a little confused. It takes him a while. And then the lady behind starts leaning on the horn. Move it, old timer. Well, he gets up to the first window and he orders his food and then he pays for it. And he tells the young lady working there, I want to pay for the lady behind me too. So he does. He gets both receipts, pays for both food items. And then as he, you know, slowly moves through the drive-thru, he looks back and he sees the younger lady back there saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So he goes on and proceeds through the drive-thru, and he realizes that young lady is probably really embarrassed because of the way she was telling him to hurry up and everything. So he gets to the second window, gets his food, and he gets her food too. So he drives on through, and of course, now she's got to go all the way back around the drive-thru to make her order again. So young people, be nice to those of us who are aging. We've learned a few tricks in our lifetime. I love that. Well, this morning, we're going to learn about some heroes of faith. And they were aging. Who are some heroes of the Old Testament? Just throw out a name here. So anyone, a hero of the Old Testament. Abraham. Right, you got it on the first try. Any others? Moses. Yeah. David, Noah, also a really old guy. Well, this morning, We're going to read and learn about heroes of faith called Abraham, or in this instance, Abram and Sarai. Heroes of faith. So let's look in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. Verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. In East Africa, being barren is one of the most shameful, embarrassing, and painful experiences for a woman. A lot of shame is involved. And that was also prominent in the culture of the Old Testament. So this wasn't easy for Sarai. A very painful reality of her life. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Now, as Abram and Sarai were living in Egypt previously, the Pharaoh gave them some slaves. And so that's how Hagar appears on the scene or with this family. Verse 2. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from bearing children. Go, sleep with my slave, and perhaps I can build a family through her." Well, this was a bad idea. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Abram messed up. Yes, he's a hero of the Bible, but he should have reminded Sarai of God's promise rather than just agreeing to this idea. But he made a mistake. He agrees. Verse 3, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. Now the Canaanites were difficult people. They worshiped idols. They did not know about Yahweh. It says, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar. Now remember, she's a slave. She doesn't have rights. She can't make her own decisions. She does what she is told. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. The Bible says, he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. But we don't know if she conceived on the first night, or 2 months later, or 3 months. Verse 4, he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Now, when you despise someone, that's a powerful emotion. There's no joy in this family. There's conflict, emotional trauma, hatred, hurt feelings. And remember, Sarai is the first wife. She knows what God told her husband, Abram. But now Abram sleeps with his slave, Hagar. She conceives, and it says, when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Now, I've seen lots of women in my lifetime, and whenever they conceive and they're pregnant, wow, there's a different glow about them. They're happy, joyful. But verse 5, then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Whose idea was this? was Sarai's idea. But remember, Sarai's hurt. She's feeling pain, under distress, under duress, under no joy, no peace in the home. Just imagine. Now, in Africa, we have dealt with those who are polygamous. Just imagine Sarai in the morning, getting ready to milk the goats, milk the camels, and she sees Hagar coming out of the tent with Abram. Painful, no joy. Abram said in verse 6, your slave is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. Hagar's despising Sarai. Sarai's hating Hagar, mistreating. No joy, no peace, no fun. There's a lot of emotional challenges, conflict going on in this family. Then the Bible says, so Hagar fled from her. Now in Kenya, we work with children who live on the streets. The reason they're on the streets is they are running away from something. From pain, violence, conflict. We also work in the prisons. And what is the first thing a convict normally does after committing a crime? What's the first thing? They run. They flee. It's a natural response. So Hagar fled from her. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. This is the first time the angel of the Lord is mentioned in God's word. And by the way, does this remind you of another incident in the Gospel of John where the Lord met a Gentile woman? Now, this is really interesting here in verse 8. And the angel of the Lord, and he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai. Now, up to now, she's just been known as the slave, the maid servant. But the angel of the Lord uses her name. By the way, her name means fugitive. Slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Very interesting question. I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Running away. Children leave their parents, their homes in Kenya, and go and live on the street because they're running away from violence or abuse. Verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. I don't think that's what she wanted to hear. Sometimes God tells us to do difficult things. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. She was told to go back and to submit. Now, don't get the wrong idea. If you're living under abuse, if you're being abused or mistreated, don't go back. Get help. Find peace. But here the angel says, submit to her. Verse 10, the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. Verse 11, the angel also said to her, you are now pregnant, as if she didn't know, and you're going to give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. Ishmael means the God who hears. How do you think Hagar felt when the angel told her, your son will be Ishmael? Remember, she's been running away. There's been no peace. There's been emotional trauma. There's been hatred, conflict. But now she's reminded every time she calls her son's name that God is a God who hears. Maybe this morning you are living in a difficult situation. Maybe you're enduring violence or abuse. No joy, no peace. Remember, Ishmael, the God who hears. For the Lord has heard of your misery. Now, when you go and live in Kenya, you get names. Kenyans will give you a name, and even those who work with the deaf have names that they get in Kenya. So whenever we went to Kenya, we were given Kenyan names. And my name in the local language there means last born. Because there was a team that moved there in 1982. And then we moved and joined that team in 1986. So I was like the last born in the family. And by the way, the last born is honored above others. Gets more love, more goodies, more chai than the others. And this is great. The angel told her, for the Lord has heard of your misery. Wow, big word. Some translations say the Lord has heard of your affliction. Hagar is a slave, a foreigner from Egypt. She had to learn a different language, new customs, do everything that she was told. And she's on the run, an unwed, pregnant woman. As we think of Kenya, there's a famous Kenyan named Kipchoge. Well, he's the first one to run a marathon in under 2 hours. But his name means the one who's been born by the barn. Names are important. Ishmael, the God who hears. Verse 12. Now to all of you who are parents of young children, feeling like you're at your wit's end, just listen to the description of this child. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all of his brothers. I thought my kids were hard to raise. What about this kid? Verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. The original language says, El Roi, the God who sees me. For she said, I've now seen the one who sees me. What are you going through this morning? What kind of emotional pain are you enduring? Who do you know who needs to be seen? El Roi, the God who sees me. 14. That's why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. Verse 15. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael, the God who hears. Ishmael to the son that she had borne, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Hagar had felt invisible. She was a slave, told what to do, what time to wake up, what time to get off work. She was in the desert, alone, when the angel of the Lord found her. If you're in the desert this morning, don't stay there. Get out of the desert. Have you ever felt invisible? Maybe you've worked for 16 years in your company, and it's time for a promotion to happen, and the person who gets the promotion has only been there 6 years. Maybe you have felt invisible. Or maybe you're not in the popular group at school. It's time for lunch. You don't feel like you fit into that crowd and that crowd there, so you go possibly to the library to have lunch. Maybe you don't know where to go because you feel invisible. Remember, God hears you and God sees you. I'm from Odessa. Now I know, can anything good come out of Odessa? No. Well, in Odessa, you play football, right? And you work in the oil field. Well, I felt invisible. I was a skinny tennis player. We had to wear white all the time. And I worked at a store. I felt invisible. Have you ever wanted to be invisible? Maybe you've made a mistake, you've made a blunder, and you wish that no one would see you. I have. We had just been back in the U.S. for 2 days, and when you live in Kenya, lots of things change here in the United States. So one of the first places I want to go is Walmart. So I was in Walmart, and I was looking around at all the new stuff, you know. There's always another flavor of Doritos or a different kind of Oreo cookie, and I want to have them all, and there's always a new flavor for Blue Bell ice cream. Well, when you live in Kenya, there's lots of stuff going on in your stomach, right? Yep. Well, we just have different kinds of bacteria in our stomachs, and I like to call it, there's a Hebrew phrase, it's probably the only thing I remember John Willis teaching me. I call it Magor Misabib. Here's what it means: terror on every side. So that's how I refer to my stomach frequently. Well, here I was in Walmart having a good time minding my own business, and all of a sudden, Magor Misabib. I had to go to the bathroom. Well, I remembered, okay, the bathrooms are up behind the cash registers. So me being from Kenya, I ran like no white man can run. And I went into the restroom, and without telling you too many details, I had to sit down. Well, I looked down, and lo and behold, I saw a lady's foot and a lady's handbag. I wanted to be invisible. So I... Yeah, that's who you're supporting in Kenya, by the way. And I find it kind of interesting that the song we just sang before I got up here to speak was I'll Fly Away. Oh my goodness. So I took care of business and went to wash my hands, and about that time the lady sitting next to me came up beside me and we get acquainted. She looked at me and said, "Oh my God, am I in the men's bathroom again?" I looked to the right. I looked behind me. I looked to the left. There were no urinals. I was in the ladies' bathroom. I wanted to be invisible. So I prayed, "Oh God, may there not be any church elders out front at the cash registers." Oh man. Wanted to be invisible. Now, we get visitors from the United States who come to Kenya. And we begin the communication by email. Every now and then it's by telephone, but it's usually by email. And they say, "Larry, we're going to arrive on such and such airline. We'll arrive at 9 p.m. And I write back, "Okay, that's great. That's, you know, I'll be at the airport to meet you." And then the next email usually says, "Well, Larry, how will I find you?" Well, I usually reply, "It's Africa, and I'm a white man. I'll be the white guy at the airport." Only 1% of white people in Kenya. Even if we wanted to be invisible, we can't. We stand out like a white man in Africa. Yeah. This morning, if you are experiencing trauma, stress, pain, despair, remember Ishmael, God hears me. Remember El Roihi, God sees me. For a few seconds, I want us to think of someone you know in your life who needs to be seen today. Just think of that person that may be ignored. It could be that this person has been given a cancer diagnosis. But God sees. Or maybe you or your friend is going through divorce. They feel rejected. But God sees. In Kenya, we work on the streets with kids who are running away. We work on a team. A team of Americans and a team of Kenyans. And we go out to where the children are on the streets. Many times it's a market. They like to go to the markets because there's lots of food there and someone might hand them a banana or an orange. And then we also work in the prisons. People in the prisons feel hopeless, rejected, and forgotten. We also travel to Tanzania where there is an unreached people group, people who have not yet heard of the Son of God. Can you believe that? In Kenya, there are 31 unreached people groups. And in Tanzania, I believe it's 30. So we travel there to Tanzania to visit an area where there's an unreached people group called Datoga. And there are Kenyan missionaries working and living there. And their financial support is not coming from the United States. It's coming from within Kenya. So we go and we visit and we give them MP3 players that have the New Testament in their language on it. I want to show a film that's about 5 minutes long. You'll see street children, you'll see the Datoga. But the first scene is total darkness. And we were in this small, small town on this occasion, and people at night begin to wail and to mourn because there was a lost child. We might could say this is their Amber Alert. And this is a big deal in this setting because there are hyenas that roam the streets at night. And incidentally, the child was found the next morning safe. But that's what you'll see in the film. So let's watch the film and then I'll come up and make a few closing remarks. we take them to drug rehab because they're all addicted. And then we put them in school. Many times it's a vocational school. For example, 2 weeks ago, we graduated 2 carpenters, a welder, and an electrician. While it is really great to be seen, just imagine the blessing of being the one who does the seeing. A few scriptures that speak to us. Isaiah 62 and verse 4 says, "The Lord takes delight in you." Isaiah 43 and verse 1, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." Isaiah 49 and 16, "I have written your name on the palm of my hands. You are mine." This one is really good for street children. Psalms 27 and verse 10, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Some lessons from the story of Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and Ishmael. God meets us wherever we are. God is faithful to the outcast. God still works even when we go off of his plan. And God has a plan for the unplanned. We want you to feel that you are making a difference in East Africa because you are. You are rescuing street children. You are visiting prisoners. You are helping the unreached people of East Africa hear the gospel in their language. And this morning, if you have been enduring stress, abuse, violence, emotional pain, seek us out. We love you. We want you to know that God hears you, Ishmael, and that El Royhi, God sees you. We have a song of invitation that we've prepared to sing. Let's stand up and let's sing that song. And if you have any needs, the elders are ready to meet you and to help you. God bless you.